Good morning, folks. What a weekend it was. So many things to do, so much fun to be had, and another great win for the Bobcats. It was homecoming. Terrific seeing all the alumni and friends of the university, and it's a special time of year. Good morning, Southeast Ohio. It's Monday, the 9th day of October, and Don Holbert's here too. Good morning.
Good morning.
And did you have any fun over the weekend?
My first cousin got married on Saturday.
Oh, that's cool. No, nice. That I started to say cool, and then I said nice, and then, well, it's both.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. Where did that occur?
In Galpalis.
Okay. Well, good morning, folks. October 9th it is, and we got a free-for-all today. Looking ahead, I didn't bring in my list. Well, anyway, we do have guests tomorrow and Wednesday, and I just fouled up. I didn't bring them in. Maybe later in the show I'll be able to find them on my phone here. But anyway, today a free-for-all. And so we often start with, events in history, right? So in the year, on this very date of October 9th, but the year was 768. Charlemagne and his brother Carloman the First, are crowned kings of the Franks. Okay. In the year 1000, Leif Erikson reaches Vinland, possibly, which was at that time possibly more likely should have been called part of Canada, and reportedly becoming the first European to reach North America. Reputedly, not reportedly. 1446, on this date, the Hangul Korean alphabet is first published in Korea by King Sejong the Great. 1831, on this date, Ioannis Kapodistrias, the first head of state of modern Greece, was assassinated in Nafplion. We always have kind of a collection of things like this that are unfortunate. Anyway, going on, 1941, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt approves an atomic program that would have become the Manhattan Project. Ah, yes. 2006, North Korea conducts its first nuclear test on this very date. And it goes on to say, with an estimated yield of between 0.4 to 2 kilotons of, nuclear power. All right, some birthdays. Charles the X, born on this date in 1757, and he died in 1836. So any notable things about Charles the X?
Hold on.
I see what I did. I skipped a page
that's fine. Charles the X, he was the King of France from September 1824 until August 1830. An uncle of the uncrowned Louis. Hold on.
Do your best.
I think that's 17th. XVII, is that 17th?
I don't know.
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this. And he supported the latter in exile. After the Bourbon Restoration in 1814, he became the leader of the ultra-royalists, a radical monarchist faction within the French court that affirmed absolute monarchy by divine right and opposed the constitutional monarchy concessions towards liberals and the guarantees of civil liberties granted by the Charter of 1814.
I didn't mean to, but I skipped two birthdays, and that's why I threw Don off a little bit here. So let me get back on track. Alfred Dreyfus. He was born on this date in 1859 and died in 1935. Mr. Dreyfus.
He was a French artillery officer of Jewish ancestry from Alsace, A-L-S-A-C-E.
I think so.
Okay. Whose trial and conviction in 1894 on charges of treason became one of the most polarizing political dramas in modern French history, and it has gone down in history as the Dreyfus Affair.
Oh, yes.
And he would later be completely exonerated.
Okay, Joe, do you know how to say this? I'm ashamed because this isn't way back. This is somebody who just died last year, or actually this year.
Pepitone?
Okay, he's a baseball guy. New York baseball team. Joe Pepitone is our guest. He was born in the year 1940. And as we said, he died recently during this year, 2023.
Back in March.
Okay. What was his thing?
You can probably tell on his hat there. He was an American professional baseball first baseman and outfielder who played in the MLB for the New York Yankees, Houston Astros, Chicago Cubs, and Atlanta Braves from 1962 to 1973. And for the Yakult Adams of Nippon Professional Baseball in 1973. He was a three-time MLB All-Star and won three Gold Glove Awards.
Hmm. All right, and the last famous birthday, if you will, and this is going farther back, this is Marianne Shad Carey. And she was born in 1823 on this date. And she passed in 1893. Now, what was her notoriety?
She was an American-Canadian anti-slavery activist, journalist, publisher, teacher, and lawyer. She was the first black woman publisher in North America and the first woman publisher in Canada. She was also the second black woman to attend law school in the U.S.
Hmm. Okay, two deaths to mention that occurred on this date. And by this date, I mean October 9th. But the year, first of all, we have Benjamin Banneker. He was born in 1731, but he died on this date of October 9th in the year 1806. Now, I don't know if it's proper to mention this, but I will anyway. This is what appears to be an artist's rendition photograph. Not a photograph. But he appears to be a person of color. Now, Banneker, however that's pronounced. What's his thing?
He was an African-American naturalist, mathematician, astronomer, and almanac author. And his knowledge of astronomy helped him author a commercially successful series of almanacs. He corresponded with Thomas Jefferson on the topics of slavery and racial equality. Abolitionists and advocates of racial equality promoted and praised his works. Mm-hmm. And he became a folk hero after his death, leading to many accounts of his life being exaggerated or embellished. Hmm.
And the last of our famous deaths, and of course we could find many more, but we generally have four that they pick each day, and in the way of famous births, and then generally two or three of famous deaths. So this last one for today is Pius the 12th. So a pope. And he was born on this date. He was born in 1876, but he died on this date in 1958. I kind of remember this one. And what were some of his notables?
He was the head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City State from March 1939 until his death. Before his election, he served as secretary of the Department of Extraordinary Ecclesiastical Affairs, Papal Nuncio to Germany, and Cardinal Secretary of State, in which capacity he worked to conclude treaties with European and Latin American nations.
Well, we tested your pronunciation there for a moment.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have here? All right, I guess that's good for that report. Let me just give you a little update about the weather. Okay. We did have a 30% chance of some showers overnight, and indeed, when I walked out the door, it was damp. Otherwise, cloudy and a low of 42 with light southwest winds. Now, today is Columbus Day. We had not mentioned that, at least during this segment, before. I don't know if it came up on the gang before us or not. But today is Columbus Day. This is a thing observed here in our nation, the United States. Now, you know, we here in the U.S. have a day called Thanksgiving. It's in November. The Canadians are celebrating their Thanksgiving Day today. So just a couple of holidays to mention to you. So, for today, they say a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 10 a.m. After that, cloudy with a high near 59. Just a soft wind southward, 3 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight, they say patchy frost after 5 a.m. That's a first for a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 36, light southwest wind. Looking ahead for the week, Tuesday, sunny with a high near 63. A westerly wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Once again, Tuesday night, there is a mention of frost after 5 p.m. Palmer, get it right. After 5 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear and a low around 36. We may as well keep going. Wednesday, areas of frost before 9 a.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny and a high of 67. Well, it is that time of year when things are changing. And there's not a great deal we can do to keep that from happening, is there? Other than move away or something like that. All right. So we'll try to keep you informed of the weather as it occurs. Let's see here. What reports do we have here that... I came across this article, and certainly we've heard the gist of this before, but it's worth repeating every so often. And the headline to the article simply says, exercise. Exercise can reduce a person's risk of developing dementia by 30%. It goes on, a leading senior citizen program can help seniors stay active and improve cognitive function. Okay, so who put this out? This particular article is, well, I think you'd have to say the Alzheimer's Society had a lot to do with it. And in their studies, they have shown that regular exercise can reduce a person's risk of developing dementia by approximately 30%. And for Alzheimer's specifically, that risk can be reduced by 45%. They go on, staying physically active can help older adults maintain and improve mental function, lower the risk of developing chronic illness, and enhance flexibility and mobility. Physical activity is even more important for seniors experiencing cognitive issues like dementia or Alzheimer's. There's a program, we've talked about it a time or two, although we probably ought to do an updated feature on it. It's called Silver Sneakers. It's the nation's leading senior fitness program, and it helps Medicare eligible members stay physically, mentally, and socially active. Members have access to thousands of gyms, in-person and virtual classes, and platforms designed to foster social interaction, which also becomes more important with age. Let's see, here's a Silver Sneakers instructor whose name is Sims Corbett. And he is offering to be available to discuss this topic on our show some morning if we'd like to do that. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
No.
Things that I might ask him. Let me think about this for a minute. Well, simply stated, why is physical activity important as we age? Another question, what are benefits of exercise for cognitive health? What are the benefits of a program like Senior Sneakers? Why is the approaching Medicare enrichment period a perfect time to think about a physical activity plan? Here's another. Maybe where can we go to learn more and find out if we're eligible? Well, this Sims Corbett has been a certified personal trainer since 1999. This is a woman. She developed her enthusiasm for teaching, coaching, and exercise back in 88 while working as a swimming and downhill ski instructor. Today, her excitement for exercises continues. She has worked with the Silver Sneakers program since 2006 and holds certifications from the National Strength and Conditioning Association, as well as the American Council on Exercise, and also the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Folks, I think I'll reach out to her and see if we can't get her to be on the show. because typically our demographic for this program is older than average, whatever that means. And I hope that we can all stay healthy. And there's ways of improving that option. All right, well, what's in the big news, if you will? The news media is covering the global context of the Hamas-Israel war, as well as the topic that this has been the hottest summer on record. And they go on to say Maui in Halloween decorations. Let's see what they're getting at here. So the New World Order. Russia has started the largest war in Europe since World War II. China has become more bellicose toward Taiwan. I need your help. Bellicose. B-E-L-L-I-C-O-S-E.
Demonstrating aggression and willingness to fight.
Okay. Sometimes I wish they had just used the actual words rather than one that stands for it. But in any case, China's become more aggressive toward Taiwan. India has embraced a very virulent nationalism. Israel has formed the most extreme government in its history. And on Saturday morning, just 2 days ago, Hamas brazenly attacked Israel, launching thousands of missiles and publicly kidnapping and killing civilians. If you watched the news in the last 24 hours, there were a lot of very distressing films of buildings being clobbered, excuse me, by missiles and collapsing and stuff like that. Well, all of these developments are signs that the world may have fallen into a new period of disarray. Countries and political groups like Hamas are willing to take big risks rather than fearing that the consequences would be too dire. The simplest explanation is that the world is in the midst of a transition to a new order that experts describe with the word multipolar. Well, the article goes on, the United States is no longer the dominant power it once was, and no replacement has emerged. As a result, political leaders to many places feel emboldened to assert their own interests, believing the benefits of aggressive action may outweigh the costs. These leaders believe that they have more sway over their own region than the United States does. Well, let's see, this particular article goes on. A fully multipolar world has emerged, and people are belatedly realizing the multipolarity involves quite a bit of chaos. Zheng Yongjin, a Chinese political scientist with ties to the country's leaders, has already No, has similarly described the old order as disintegrating. Countries are brimming with ambition, like tigers eyeing their prey, keen to find every opportunity among the ruins of the old order. Well, let's just talk about a weaker United States. It bothers me to say that. Why has American power receded? Some of the change is unavoidable. Dominant countries don't remain dominant forever. But the United States has also made strategic mistakes that are accelerating the arrival of a multipolar world. Among these mistakes, presidents of both parties naively believed that the richer China would inevitably be a friendlier China. Did I get that expression quite out right? Let me try it one more time. Presidents of both parties naively believed that a richer China would inevitably be a friendlier China, and in so doing, failed to recognize that the U.S. was building up its own rival through lenient trade policies. As the political scientist John Mearsheimer has argued. Well, in Afghanistan and Iraq, the U.S. spent much of the early 21st century, I'm sorry, of the 21st, no, I said it right. Let me do it again. In Afghanistan, Iraq, and the United States spent much of the early 21st century fighting costly wars. The Iraq War was especially damaging because it was an unprovoked war that George W. Bush chose to start. And the humiliating retreat from Afghanistan overseen by President Biden, well, that made the U.S. look even weaker. Well, perhaps the biggest damage to American prestige has come from Donald Trump, who has rejected the very idea that the U.S. should lead the world, period. Trump withdrew from international agreements and disdained successful alliances such as NATO. He has signaled that if he reclaims the presidency in 2025, he may abandon the Ukraine. In the case of Israel, Trump encouraged Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, to show little concern for Palestinian interests and instead seek a maximal Israeli victory. Netanyahu, of course, did not start this new war. Hamas did, potentially with the support from Iran, the group's longtime backer. And Hamas committed shocking human rights violations this past weekend, captured on video. Boy, it's a mess. We have yet one more sentence, or rather paragraph, about this. Netanyahu's extremism has contributed to the turmoil between Israel and the Palestinian groups like Hamas. an editorial in the Harance, which is an Israeli newspaper, and was published yesterday, argued that the prime minister, who has prided himself on the vast political experience and irreplaceable wisdom in security matters, completely failed to identify the dangers he was consciously leading Israel into when Japan established the government of annexation and disposition. One more sentence. Netanyahu added, adopted a foreign policy that openly ignored the existence and rights of Palestinians. What a mess. Well, I think we could go on and cover that to a greater degree, but on the other hand, I think we've shared with you the important points of right now. See, we switched from something that serious to e-bikes. That's kind of weird. I am certainly, and I've admitted this before, kind of curious about e-bikes. These are ones that receive some form of electrical power assistance. Okay. Now, are they talking about a person? Upway. Well, I'm just going to read the article, and then we'll maybe figure it out as we get through it. The headline says, Meet Upway, the number one certified e-bike expert. Upway carries both new and like-new e-bikes up to 60% off of retail. All its e-bikes go through a rigorous inspection and certification process by its master mechanics, and are given a one-year warranty. The best part? Each bike comes 99% assembled and ready to ride. Upway carries a wide selection of e-bikes from top brands like Specialized, Gazelle, and Aventon. Its goal is to make electric mobility affordable for everyone, and so on. It sounds more like a commercial than anything, doesn't it? But anyway, I am interested in e-bikes. Have I tried one yet? Nope. I keep saying each week I want to go down to the Athens Library and try one. They have them there to give a test to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To see how you like them. Montana's having a trouble with bears. Now, folks, you may remember, if you've listened to my show over the years, I went to school out in Wyoming, 30 miles south of the Montana border. I spent a good bit of time up in Montana, particularly Billings, Montana. Okay, well, there's always been bears there. But there's a new concern. And, you know, I have two dogs, and they're not small. They're not huge either, though. But the bears up in Montana have recently started attacking dogs. And so the people up there are frantically trying to buy bear spray, which the bears don't like, and then they they spray their dogs, and hopefully the bears won't attack their dogs, right? Here's another weird nature story. I guess up in Chicago. Now, this happens a little bit, but not like this. Over 1,000 significantly sized birds died in a single night after crashing into windows of a Chicago building. Weird. 9:45 now. Let's see here. Folks, I need to take just a little break for a moment and find something that I need to share with you that I forgot to bring in the studio. So we're just going to play a tiny bit of music, and we'll be right back, okay? You get it? All right, let's see here. Let me get my stuff set up. I think I'm all set up already.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Now I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder,
ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on the peace train, it's peace train. Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too. 'Cause it's getting nearer. It soon will be with you. Come and join the living. It's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer. Soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Light on the peace train.
Oh, come on, the peace train. Peace train.
Oh. All right. I'm caught up now, and I hope you don't mind that couple of moments of music there. All right, so here we go. I wanted you to know, and I did not bring the proper paper in here, so I had to go fetch it. But we have some interesting topics coming up this week. As of right now, we'll have a party line tomorrow. Joseph free-for-all. We haven't gotten a guest for that yet. Something could happen between now and then, but if nothing else, we'll do what we did today.
All right.
On Wednesday, Ryan Foote's going to be our guest, Dr. Ryan Foote. He is a meteorologist. And our topic will be, of course, that's what I need, my phone to ring, weather and climate change. And, you know, there's been a good bit of discussion about climate change this summer. Places that had moderate heat had excessive heat. Other places had, well, you get the point. We'll talk about climate change and the weather. Then on Thursday, Terry McKinley Terry McKinley and Tammy Hawk will be in to talk about Ohio home health and hospice care. So both of those interesting topics, and I think we'll enjoy and learn some good stuff there. All right. Let's see here. By the way, last week, you know, there's been, what would you call it, concern about the stock markets and things like that. But I'm pleased to report that last week, on Friday when the markets closed, their numbers had soared. And it's been a while since that's happened. But, I mean, we could go into specifics, but I don't really understand them very well. We need to get Jim Karageorge or somebody to explain them to us. What other papers do you have over there? What's that one? Okay. Oh, here's a story I've been wanting to do for a while. And I mean, when I say a while, I'm going to say 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
And I just need to dig into it. There's a fellow, Brandon Gleason is his name, and he has written a book. And they sent me a complimentary copy. It's entitled 100 Things to Do in Ohio's Amish Country Before You Die. Okay, now, I don't know why, but the Amish way of living intrigues me. Do I want to be one? Not necessarily. But, I mean, I think they do some really interesting things. And they have some terrific skills. And, you know, I hear of people, Amish people, helping construct this or that for somebody. And all that sort of thing. So this book, 100 Things to Do in Ohio's Amish Country Before You Die, by Brandy Gleason. There, I got it. I've known about this book for, I'll bet, 8 months. And it's been in my stack of things I would like to do. So I'm going to work on that, okay? And see if she can join us on the show. Let's see, what's this story over here? Okay. In the way of the Ohio News Connection, we have an article that says support for Ohio domestic violence survivors for substance use and mental health. They go on, domestic violence shelters across Ohio are expanding their programs to tackle mental health, substance abuse, and other complex needs among survivors of intimate partner abuse. They go on that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Where is it? Here it is. I forgot to mute my phone today. And let me just try to do that now. Well, I can't. Okay. Let me go on. domestic violence shelters across Ohio are expanding their programs to tackle mental health, substance use, and other complex needs among survivors of intimate partner abuse. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And Tiffany Clark, who's involved in this whole effort, and is also a mobile advocacy case manager, and one of her partners, Mary Ann Piercy, who is the executive director of that organization, both with the Southeastern Ohio Task Force on Domestic Violence, are available. And I thought it would be a good idea to have them as guests. So we're working on that. What do we have? About 5 minutes remaining.
We do have a new report from Wallet Hub.
And
it is titled The 2023's Safest Cities in America.
Oh, okay, let's do it.
Yeah, it says, with the U.S. Experiencing over 500 mass shootings and over 25,000 motor vehicle deaths so far this year, the personal finance website Wallet Hub has released its report on 2023 Safest Cities in America. So they only have the top 10 and the bottom 10 listed here, though.
Okay, now, okay, these are okay. So they've listed 182 cities, and the safest cities, and then the least safe. Okay, so I'm thinking, without looking at the list, I'm trying to think, what state would I guess the safest city might be in? So I'm thinking New England, that region. Okay, now I'm going to turn and look at the report. Aha! Nashua, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in second, although I'm a little bit surprised at this, but my wife, Pat, lived in Columbia, Maryland for quite a long time. It comes in second. But it is so close to Washington and Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
That I'm surprised it ranks as high as number 2 in the nation. Number 3, South Burlington, Vermont. 4th, Gilbert, Arizona. 5th, Warwick, Rhode Island. 6th, Portland, Maine. 7th, Casper, Wyoming. I'm rolling my eyes. Oh, well. No, I love to tease Wyoming, as you all know. Okay, going on. 8th, Yonkers, New York. I think that's interesting. 9th, Burlington, Vermont. And 10th, Scottsdale, Arizona. Now, what about the least safe? We've got about a minute and a half remaining. This is discouraging to me. It's one of my favorite cities. Coming in 173rd, Washington, D.C.